To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatorio. Find my stuff online at mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma. You can find me that way on Twitter and Facebook too, afterthere.com/just Mike Luoma. And there's a Glow in the Dark Radio page too at facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Glowinthedarkradio.com. You know, you can go to any of those too and sign up for my mailing list. Been a little slack with the summer and all, but I try to send out about one a month. Very low pressure. And if you do sign up, you get a copy of the exclusive to the mailing list, PDF, ebook, Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's not really a guide to life, it's actually just a compilation of cool stuff, some of which you can't find anywhere else. I've got Red Hot number 3 coming out August 24th. You can see some preview pages of Just Inks by Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos Quatorio, who does our music, is the artist behind Red Hot number 3, doing it all this time. So that's in the guide. There's also preview stuff from the next Good Samaritan comic. You can see some pages from Vacation, the Alibi Jones short story, and the new Alibi Jones comic that's been out. There's also the unavailable anywhere else short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine, that's prose. Plus there's a nice excerpt from the Vatican Assassin graphic novel. It's a pretty cool compilation, if I do say so myself, I think. And you get that when you sign up for the mailing list. And again, you can do that at any of my sites, glowinthedarkradio.com, mikeluoma.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. There's a little sign-up button right at the top there. And come on board. We're getting into Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on this episode. Let me set it up for you so you can dive right in. Alibi Jones is under attack by a syringe-wielding scientist. He's recuperating from his encounter with the ghost ship and its attacking tentacles. So he's back on Ceres Central. They've been checking him out. They brought in some scientists. Some part of the alien has attached itself to him, and he can sense some thoughts in their consciousness. It's stuff he's never encountered before. They call themselves the Rodei. Talk about their oneness, and he's touched that. Now, one of the human scientists called in to examine Alibi and his condition, Dr. Bialy, is evidently more than she seems, and she seems to be attacking Alibi Jones, so she's the one with the syringe lunging at him. We'll find out what happens in just a few minutes on Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of news to share with you. I did get the proof copy of Introducing Red Hot number 3 back from Kablam. It looks beautiful. It's going to be out on August 24th. That's a Wednesday. And I'm going to be at the Vermont Comic Con that weekend, August 27th and 28th, and you'll be able to pick up copies of it there. I've already placed the order this morning. I've also got the graphic novel in the works. Had to, you know, reformat a couple of pages and come up with a whole different packaging for it, but not too different. And that's going to be available, I think, maybe just by mail, but at the time of the Comic-Con, you should maybe be able to order that if all goes according to plan. So that's pretty good. It's feeling pretty good to have Introducing Red Hot, the three-parter, pretty much done. Now I'm promoting it. If you do comic book reviews and you want to get a copy for a review, a PDF, just get in touch. glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. So that's my red hot news. You can see the book if you go over to glowinthedarkradio.com. I've got a copy of it up there. Not the whole thing, just the cover. And I do believe I'm going to be sending preview download to my mailing list. So there's another reason to join the mailing list. That does it for news. Up next, I've got Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
I'm Joaquin Vern of the Freelance Hunters. Is your remote peasant village threatened by bandits? Is your home situated upon a ghastly portal to the Nether Realms? Want to destroy that cursed family heirloom, but don't have the time to trek hundreds of miles to toss it in that volcano yourself? Call the firm of Bywater, Proudfoot, and Vern, Freelance Hunters. When the guards won't touch it, and the guild wants an arm and a leg, we can help. Monsters exterminated, treasure recovered, bounties collected. Dragons a specialty. That's the Freelance Hunters, a weekly heroic fantasy podcast. Listen free at thefreelancehunters.com or in iTunes. We're ready to believe you.
Now, here's Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi dodged the needle as it neared his right eye. The woman's arm shot past his head. He grabbed her shoulder, used her momentum to push her backwards toward the wall behind them, next to the bed. "Hey!" she cried. Then Bialy's head hit the wall with a dull thwack. She sank to the floor, out cold. "Security!" Alibi called out. "Help! Security! Intruder in my room! Security!" Krish visited early the next morning to let Alibi know the safe had Bialy under lock and key after her middle-of-the-night raid on Alibi's room.
"Dr. Bialy was trying to kill you," Krish said, filling in Alibi. "The toxin in that syringe was as potent as it was untraceable. Would have looked like a mistake with your anesthetic."
"What did I ever do to her?" Alibi asked.
"She was an acquaintance of Lenora Schwald," Krish offered. "Maybe she blamed you for her death."
"But you said Schwald and scientists didn't get along," Alibi said.
"True," Krish admitted. "I don't really know, to tell you the truth, Alibi. They're questioning her now. Maybe she'll tell us herself."
"I'd like to question her," Alibi said. "Maybe use some old-fashioned methods, involving syringes."
"I don't think that's an option, I'm afraid," Krish said. "But maybe they'll let you see the session after they finish. I'll check."
"Thanks, Krish," Alibi said. A few hours later, the local commander consented to let Alibi watch the footage of Bialy's questioning. At Krish's urging, the lead investigator on the case came to visit Alibi. He set up a small view screen, projecting over the hospital bed.
"As you'll see, we've charged her," Safe Inspector Benta said. "She gave us all we needed."
He pressed play.
"I almost died on Kismet," Bialy said. "My Brian did. He killed my husband. Alibi Jones is a murderer. He killed so many. He shouldn't get to live."
He hit pause.
"It was an accident," Alibi said. "Kismet. Still." "We don't think she worked alone," Benta said. "But she's acting as if she did. Not giving up anyone else."
"Who do you think she was working with?" Alibi asked.
"We don't know," the inspector said. "Someone who could get her assigned to this secret mission, despite her animosity towards Alibi. Look, watch this."
The inspector called up another media file, dated back a couple months to just after Constantine offered up Alibi as the culprit behind Kismet's destruction. A distraught, disheveled Dr. Bialy appeared on the screen.
It's been hard," Bialy said. "Hearing the news, I've kind of relived it all again. Losing my Brian. I don't care whose kid he is. If I saw that Alibi Jones myself right now, I'd kill him."
The inspector stopped the playback.
"That was her on a news show. Not exactly hiding her feelings."
"Nope. Alibi said. Chilling, hearing her say that. Yet, she had friends that got her assigned to take care of you, the inspector said. They didn't have to be her friends, Alibi said. Just people who knew what she wanted to do and were willing to help her do it. Yep, Benta said, was using the term friends loosely. Alibi laughed to himself. You know, they say the Depot Fringe is a dangerous place, Alibi said. And that's certainly true, but the heart of the Solar Alliance seems pretty dangerous too, at least for some of us. Inspector Benta looked like he was having trouble digesting his dinner. He leaned in to whisper to Alibi past his grimace. The newest people are bad actors, the inspector whispered. The safe is being undermined by the advancement of those who support the new prime rep and his party. You are not one of their favorites. It is easy to see how this situation could have been allowed to develop. They are ascendant. You are not. The inspector looked around, as if worried of eavesdroppers. I will look into this further, he said. But if I get any pushback, I'm going to have to let it go, just so we understand each other. He leaned back. I see, Alibi said. You do what you can. Thanks. The inspector left Alibi alone in the hospital room. Another safe trooper remained outside and guarded the door. But Alibi was starting to wonder if there was any real safety for him here on Ceres.
Need to get back out to the fringe. To the hornet's nest.
He put in a call to his Aunt Anita.
Time to get out of the solar system.
She wasn't available, off on her mission, so Alibi left a request for a call back. A few hours later, he heard the comm ping. Your mother wants to talk to you, the hospital comm center informed Alibi.
They must mean Aunt Anita. People do that all the time. Think she's my mother. Good. I'm glad she's calling. Had a bad feeling about her mission, for some reason.
Sure, put her through. Been waiting to hear from her, Alibi said. It wasn't Anita. His actual mother, Ruth, was on the comm.
But, no, wait.
Alibi hadn't seen or talked to her in over 20 years. Hadn't been in the same room with her since the day she shot and killed Alibi's father, when Alibi was 3 years old. Now, there she was, on the comm screen, right in front of him. Hello, Alibi, she said. Alibi didn't know what to say. He stared straight ahead at the woman. She was older, but looked like he remembered on some level.
Seen more pictures of her than anything.
Looked a bit like him, truth be told. You look good, she said. Are you doing well? Are you okay? Alibi looked away from the screen. End! He called out, severing the connection. He stared back at the blank screen.
Handled that well. Not my fault. She surprised me.
What was that all about? Krish asked as he walked into the hospital room. After the unwelcome interruption, Alibi was glad to see a familiar face. Dr. Curry followed Krish in. You look like you've seen a ghost, Krish said to Alibi. Maybe it's because I just talked to one, Alibi said. Oh, really? Krish said. What did you say to it? Nothing, Alibi said. I didn't know what to say. I broke the connection. Oh. Alibi sighed. He looked down at his leg. I want to check out, Alibi said. Doctors Krish and Curry nodded, but didn't move. Now? Alibi added. That's not possible, Krish said. Dr. Curry shook his head. Why not? Alibi asked. Maybe in about a week, Krish said. But we are still doing tests on your leg. We also had to call in another cyborg specialist after losing Bialy. They won't be here for a few days.
We don't know yet what danger that leg poses to you, or to the rest of us, for that matter, Dr. Curry said. It's not safe for you to be in an uncontrolled environment at this point. There's no telling what could happen.
You've only just got your blood counts back up to normal, Krish said. Alibi frowned.
It's okay, Alibi, Krish said. We'll get you back in the field in no time.
The two doctors began to leave the room. Krish, hold up a sec, huh? Alibi called out.
Go ahead, Mal. I'll catch up,
Krish said to Curry. He came back over to the side of Alibi's bed. Krish, did you ever know my mother?
What a strange question, Alibi, Krish said.
Why, no, not really. I know of her, certainly. I knew your father well. We all know how she killed BC.
She called me up, out of nowhere, this afternoon, Alibi said. The ghost I saw.
Oh, Krish said. Well, I am sorry to hear that. So you didn't talk to her?
No, I hung up on her. Cut her off.
Well, Krish said, not sure what you have to say to her, eh? She shouldn't have surprised you like that, I suppose.
Nope, Alibi said.
Well, you might want to call her back, Alibi, Krish said.
Why would I want to do that?
It is sometimes a good idea to reconcile with our mother and father, even when they are distant and remote. It can free up your own spirit, unshackle you from chains you didn't even know you were in.
Is that philosophy? Alibi asked.
Common sense, Krish said. Can't build on shaky foundations now, can you?
Krish looked over at the door.
I've got to catch up with Dr. Curry, Krish said, but I will see what I can find out about getting you back to your base.
Thank you, Krish, Alibi said, as Krish headed out.
Alibi called up the comm to conduct a search, to see if he could find out what was up with his mother. He thought she was locked up, put away. But it turned out she'd recently been released from the hospital facility where she'd been held since she'd killed his father, Bernard Campion, and found insane. She was listed as a resident of the colony world Fortuna. It looked like the old cult she'd been in was trying to make a comeback there. Someone was calling themselves the Light, the traditional name for their leader, and calling old cult members to join them in their commune. Some of those members seemed to have arranged for his mother's release into their custody. They'd used her father's name, but he was long dead.
How can they do that? What's going on here?
Something else caught Alibi's eye. He hit a news item featuring his mother. It was filed recently, within the last 12 hours or so. A glaring graphic showed Alibi and Ruth's faces, overlapping, with the blaring headline, "Like Mother, Like Son, Exclusive Interview." Oh no.
That was Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Kind of a shocking development there for Alibi at the end of that chapter as he sees his mother getting dragged into the news. His actual mother, not his Aunt Anita, who's been his like de facto mother, but his actual mother, Ruth, the woman who killed his father. She's been in a hospital, in a facility since that time, about 25 years ago now. That's why it was so weird to hear from her, and now she's in the news. Now, there is a reference to this in one of the comic book stories that's in the new Alibi Jones comic book, The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 2. In the story The Wishing Stone, Alibi talks about this encounter with somebody else. I don't want to give too much away. But there's a reason to maybe pick up The Adventures of Alibi Jones comics. You get a little bit of a different view of Alibi. But we're going to find out what goes on with this interview with Alibi's actual mother, Ruth, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, Chapter 25, coming up. And just a reminder that introducing Red Hot, number 3, is coming out August 24th, soon to be followed by the graphic novel that collects all three together under one cover. For those who like to purchase books, it doesn't seem to make sense to me to put it all together under one cover as a digital download, because that's just a little bit unwieldy. I mean, you can read the three, I guess, easily, much more easily as ebooks, and just go boom, boom, boom right through them. So I've been thinking I don't really need to put that out as a digital graphic novel, but I think it's really neat to have it as an actual hold-in-your-hands graphic novel. These are the things I think about. At any rate, it will be available as a hold-in-your-hands book, actual thing. And the new issue will be out on August 24th, that Wednesday. Just before I am at the Vermont Comic Con that weekend, that will be the place you can pick them up for sure. If you're looking for them, and you're in the area, I'm sharing space with the Vermont Comic Creators Group. Once again, like I did last year. Looking forward to that. Join my mailing list or check out any of my stuff at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter that way too, after their .coms, Mike Luoma. And don't forget our Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Join the mailing list for exclusive stuff and updates at any of those sites. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I am your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.